Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Well, thank you for pushing that little triangle pointing to the right and joining us for another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. This is Barry York, and I'm joined today with our long-lost co-host, Kyle Bohr. Kyle, welcome back to 3GT.
Heidi-ho, it is good to be back.
Sounds like you had quite the trip. You said you have been in different places. Can you name some of those?
Yeah, so let's see. In late December, I was in the great state of Indiana, and then my travels
were exotic. Exotic.
So, yeah, exotic. It was a dream come true, let me tell you. I did the week after the beginning of January, I flew over to Amsterdam. It was my first time ever overseas. And from Amsterdam, got on a plane to Glasgow, Scotland, and spent a week in Northern Ireland and Scotland, and was able to preach in what I believe is the oldest congregation in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Scotland in Stranraer. And so also for our listeners who might be aware, the pulpit of William Symington. And so that was a huge blessing. I also got to do a rural church conference, a rural church talk that evening in Stranraer. The local congregations canceled evening worship, and we all gathered together to talk about rural ministry. So that was really good. And upon returning from Scotland, my wife and I jumped in the car, dropped our kids off with our in-laws in Minnesota, and she and I, we went on one of our cruises again. No need to comment, but it was good. We sailed down to South America, actually, and then back up to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was able to worship in my twin brother's church. He begged me to preach for him, but he refused to pay me an honorarium. And so I told him, I'm on vacation, bud. Unless you pay me, I'm not preaching for you. So in the last month, I have stepped foot on three different continents. So wow. It's been good, but it's really good to be home.
Wow. So the boy from Winchester goes out and explores the world. That sounds great.
That's right. Sounds like a good kid's book.
Well, we get one of my co-hosts back and Kyle, but then we don't have Scott with us today as he had some family matters. I think his family is visiting him. So it's just you and me today on the podcast. And we thought we would talk about the whole issue of a pastor and his need for patience. And just to get us started here, Kyle, remind our listeners how long you've been a pastor.
I've been officially a pastor for just a hair over 6.5 years. Mm-hmm. I did get a unique opportunity for 2.5 years prior to that to be pulpit supply in a congregation, but I was not a pastor at that time.
So. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to leave the realm of the honeymoon and the initial phases of ministry, and you're starting to really get settled down. Of course, 6.5 years, you know, a lot of pastors in other denominational settings, they may be on their second or third pastorate by then. So it's fairly unique in the Christian landscape for a man to remain for very long in one place. So
I do think, I read recently, I think the average length of a pastorate is in America is 7 years right now. So,
oh, okay. So it's more than I might think. Yeah. Well, we wanted to talk about this whole issue of patience because one of the things you realize as a minister, and I was a pastor for a couple of decades before I came to RPTS, is that things don't always happen as fast as you wish, that there are a lot of issues that arise that quickly, no pun intended here, but quickly drive you to the realization that you're going to have to be patient in order to survive and flourish in pastoral ministry. So we want to talk about this topic together here, Kyle. And just as we talk about the whole idea of patience, before we got on the air, you were mentioning there's really two different ways to look at patience. So why don't you go over that for our listeners' sake, and then I'll ask you a few more questions for our discussion here.
So when you think of what is probably the most, I haven't done a word study, but the most common word in the Bible that is used for patience, it is a word that quite literally means long-suffering, to suffer long. And you can think of some of those passages of Scripture that immediately, you know, you think of 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. That's the word Paul uses there, is it suffers long, it is long-suffering. And there really is, the way that I try to sometimes just explain it very simply is, I think there's two angles by which we can understand long-suffering. For lack of a better way to describe it, I usually say, you know, there is a passive patience and there's an active patience. And simply what I mean by that the passive idea is me, myself, and I patiently bearing up under suffering, the things that are happening toward me, and exercising patience in suffering long. There is also what I would call, and again, these are just kind of my categories, but active patience. And that is long-suffering toward others, and to bear with them in the long term, even if they are hostile or even if they cause you suffering of some degree, it's actively being patient toward others. So I think those are the two angles I usually try to describe patience under.
Yeah, and that's helpful. I think we're going to spend more time on the second aspect of it, more the active patience, because we want to really talk about pastoral ministry. But let's look at the passive side of it a little bit. I think on our podcast, we've talked before about how a lot of times ministers can tend to be wimpy. They can complain a lot and think they have it so rough, especially here in the U.S. And in my role now, I get to meet ministers from all over the world. I just realize how soft we are in the West when I hear of what some of my brothers are going through in different parts of the world as they just pour themselves out in ministry for the sake of others, often under very austere conditions. So when we talk about, and let's focus a little bit here on Western pastors, as we talk about them passively suffering, what are some of the things that you think, maybe it's friends you know that are in the ministry or experiences perhaps you've even had, but what are some of the ways that we have to suffer under things that are brought our way as ministers?
Yeah, I don't, like you said, I don't want to overplay it in some ways. I do want to be careful. Oftentimes when we measure suffering, we do so in terms of physical suffering. You know, we do hear about our brothers in other quarters of the world who suffer immensely physically for the sake of the gospel. And no doubt, I never want to do anything to detract from that, you know, especially those who have died for the faith. The scriptures assign a particular place in glory to those who have shed their blood for the sake of the gospel. But I also think it's fair to say, and you also, you get a picture of this, for instance, when the Apostle Paul gives his resume of suffering and what it looks like for the sake of the gospel. Paul's very clear that his suffering is not just physical. It's not just the beatings and the lashings. He even includes, is it 2 Corinthians 12, where he includes, you know, the daily burdens and the anxieties that I have for the church is part of his suffering. And I think we need to understand that. And I've often been reminded, I remember I was facing a difficult period in my own pastorate, and my wife, in order to encourage me, wrote a quote on a note card, and it still hangs here in my window. And I've had the opportunity to share that with pastor friends who are likewise dealing with some difficulties. But it's a quote from a letter that Mary Winslow wrote to her son, Octavius Winslow, who's known in some of our circles, a 19th century pastor. And he was facing a lot of difficulties, and Mary was trying to encourage her son. And she wrote these words, "When you accepted the pastoral office, you commenced a life of trial, both from saint and sinner. Oh, do not be surprised at all you meet with. Look to Jesus. Do not let difficulties distress you. The cause is Christ's, and all you have to do is take them to him." And what I've loved about the way that she worded that is, you know, when you accepted the pastoral office, you did commence a life of trouble. Mm. And that is trouble from the world, and it's trouble within the church. And I think it's fair to say that many pastors endure that kind of suffering. There is, of course, the suffering from the world. Jesus tells us in John 16, you're going to have troubles. Like, mm-hmm. that's the nature of being in the world. And Jesus makes clear, especially those who are called to the ministry of word, who do serve as witnesses to Jesus in a very public sense. Jesus is saying you can expect tribulation and you can expect suffering. And so we have the reproach that the world heaps upon us. I think sometimes the way in which the world tries to bind the hands of those who want to preach the truth and be faithful to God, but we're told, oh, you can't say that, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. That is a degree of suffering. But there is also suffering that arises within the church. And, you know, every pastor is acquainted with that. You have people who make the pastor their target of anger and frustration and bitterness, and people who say extremely hurtful, extremely unkind, extremely uncharitable things, who aren't encouraging, but they're discouraging. You know, and we're warned about that in Scripture as well. There's a reason why the apostles tell people, you know what, submit to your spiritual authorities so that you're not a burden to them. And the truth is, with all love to Christ's sheep, sometimes sheep can be an immense burden to spiritual shepherds. And so I think there's any number of ways in which pastors suffer, some big, some small, but all of it a form and a kind of suffering.
Well, I think that's a really helpful way to think through it. And certainly ministers do carry these kinds of burdens. And I think just in recent months, I've been interacting actually with quite a number of pastors out in different types of pastoral situations. And it is amazing the different burdens that can fall on men. And you and I would both know men that have suffered incredible loss, a family that has had threats on their family, others that are undergoing immense difficulties with people in their congregation. And so it is amazing the burden that the ministry can feel. And of course, we've also addressed in previous podcast episodes, we've seen a lot of high-profile ministers not only just leave the pastorate, but end up in despair, taking their own lives for whatever reason it may be. And so ministers do have to bear up under a lot. And I think this quote you've given us from the Winslows is an important one to keep in mind, that that's part of the calling, is the calling to suffer. And as you're talking to ministers, Kyle, and trying to encourage your buddies to continue on in the ministry, what are some of the advice that you would give them if they are going through a time where they don't feel like they have that passive patience anymore, that it's running out, that it's just too unbearable? What are some of the things that you do to try to encourage them?
I think one of the things, and again, to reference that Mary Winslow quote, is to try to frame expectations, right? What the words that she wrote to her son, you know, do not be surprised at all that comes your way. Like, and I think that's one of the ways that I try to begin addressing it, I guess, is just saying, you know, first and foremost, you can't be surprised by this. You know, what did you expect? You're a pastor in a church. You're a sinner. You're pastoring a church filled with sinners. This is inevitably going to happen. And we as pastors really do need to set our expectations, not in a pessimistic or cranky kind of way, but a realistic expectation that this is going to happen, and I need to bear up with it. But I also think, you know, one of the things that I find helpful, whether sharing with other people or days when I might feel my patience is running thin, you know, God's patience is one of the attributes that he highlights with his glory. You know, that God himself is forbearing, that God himself bears patiently with us. And so one of the things, for instance, when I'm beginning to get bogged down or feeling impatient, or I have a friend that is, you know, one of the things that helps me get perspective is to kind of take a step back and think how long suffering God has been with me. you know, and how long suffering Jesus himself is with me and with others. And I think that helps give me a perspective that, you know, in one sense, I don't get a right to be less patient than Jesus is. You know, if Jesus can bear long with these things, and if Jesus himself encourages me to do that, then I too can bear up under that. Mm-hmm. And with that too, and you know, I know that this begins to kind of get into a theology of suffering, but to remember that as a pastor and just as a Christian, even when we suffer, you know, Jesus is not in a sense untouched by that. You think of when Jesus addresses Saul on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's not why do you persecute my people? Jesus personalizes that. And I think, again, that helps me bring some perspective that these, the reproaches that fall upon us as Christians or as pastors, the struggles that we have, these are things that Jesus claims for himself as well.
Mm-hmm. And that really reminds
what
us.
What about you?
Well, yeah, no, I was just going to say in response to that, that it really reminds us that a lot of times when we feel that pressure, we feel that suffering, the human nature is just to want to escape from it. But one of the things that you're pointing out by that is that it's often an opportunity. God's using those things to shape us. And it's hard to be under his hand when it's heavy. But to know that Christ is there with us, suffering through that with us, is so helpful. One of the real practical things that I try to practice myself and encourage others in, and to be honest, this was a lesson that I learned during a very difficult time of ministry when I was caring for my mom, who was having a lot of troubles and some issues in the family, as well as a lot of pressure for things that were going on in the church at that time. One of the things that just really was impressed upon me is Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount when he tells us not to be anxious for tomorrow because today has enough worries of its own. And I realized that some of these things, there was no way I was going to escape them in a day. I wasn't going to, or even in a long period of time, I wasn't going to be able to get away from them. I couldn't fix them. I like to fix things, but I couldn't fix these things all at once. And one of the things that the Lord really impressed upon me there is just, I know what I'm supposed to do today. And if I'm just faithful to do what I need to do today, I can trust the Lord for what comes tomorrow. And that gave me a sense of peace, even though the pressures necessarily hadn't been taken off me. It just gave me a sense of peace each day. If I could go before the Lord and, you know, in a sense, look him in the eye as a servant and say, Lord, I have sought to honor you today and do what you gave me to do today about this issue, and I can't do any more, and just cast that anxiety upon the Lord. So that's part of how to, and it's kind of taking us into the next part of this, but in a sense, practice the passive patience.
Right. And with that too, and I think, you know, so necessary, obviously prayer is so vital here, mm-hmm. but one of the things that I would say is, you know, so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. Paul is saying, here's the qualification as the Lord's servant, as a pastor. And what I, the reason I bring that up is because, right, a high view of what, of the scriptures, I think, lead us to understand that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And I know that's a bit of a trite saying, but here is something that God requires of pastors, that you be able to patiently endure evil. And I think we have a promise in those mm-hmm. words that when we go to the Lord and we plead for the patience that is necessary to be pastors, we're pleading the promises. Mm-hmm. You know, God, qualify me and equip me to be the servant you've called me to be and give me the resources of your grace and your strength to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's helpful as well. Well, it does take us into this other aspect of patience, and particularly with respect to our pastoral calling that I think is vital, because just by nature, being a pastor requires patience in the work that we're doing. We're called to be, you know, the word for pastor means shepherd. We're shepherding sheep. And if you think about a shepherd leading his flock to green pastures, there's a lot of watching and waiting and spending time with them. And so it's just a picture of the need for patience. But what is it, Kyle, you would say with respect to the pastoral office or pastoral duties that particularly require this quality of this practicing what we've referred to earlier as active patience?
Well, how much time do we have? No, in many ways, I say that somewhat tongue in cheek, but I find in being a pastor that patience really has to permeate everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I am not where I should be, and the members of my church are not where they should be.
That's really why we're having this podcast, Kyle, is because not where. No, I'm just kidding.
I appreciate that. No, and look at my humility, Barry. I can receive it. So, but right, this idea of patience, it needs to enter into our preaching ministry. You know, we all pray for that one sermon that will radically change everybody's course of life and course of direction. But the reality is, very seldom does that one sermon come along. And I think you need to be patient in providing a staple diet in good biblical preaching to your members and patiently bear in that. You know, I remember somebody once told me, you know, you don't remember what your wife cooked 2 weeks ago for dinner, mm-hmm. but you know it nourished you and you know that it strengthened you and it supplied what you needed for that day. And so there is this patience that is needed in our preaching ministry, that week by week, I'm going to declare the word of the Lord. I'm going to do it as best I can in the strength that He gives, but I'm going to patiently wait upon God to bring the results that He promises to bring through the preaching of the word. You need to have, and I would tack that onto teaching as well, in all of our teaching, to patiently bear with people, you know, coming to greater depths of knowledge, whether that's the wonderful experiential knowledge of the love of God in Christ Jesus, whether that's doctrinal knowledge, whatever it is, these are not things that come overnight, nor do I think we want them to come overnight. We want people to be very grounded in these things, and that takes time. Patience needs to come into our shepherding, into our visitations, and into our counseling. You know, I often say that men who become pastors without a call from the Lord really must be insane, because to be a pastor is to be invited into all the struggles and all the sins and all the temptations of those you pastor. And guess what? Newsflash, Christians can make a mess of their lives. And they're not walking in obedience, and they're not walking in repentance, and they're not adorning themselves with the grace and the virtues that they should be, that are in keeping with their profession of faith. And it's very tempting at times to just want to clean house. And I remember Joel Beakey in seminary just once said, you know, there will come times when you want to wring people around the neck. And maybe sometimes, once in a blue moon, that's very necessary. But Dr. Beakey encouraged us and said, but you know what? That's not what a pastor does. A pastor bears patiently with His people. Now that doesn't, well, maybe we can get into some of the pitfalls of that. That doesn't mean passivity. That doesn't mean not using the means of grace that God has appointed for His church. But it does mean that patience really needs to infiltrate our interactions with our members. You know what? They're not going to do what they should always be doing. They're going to get bored with worship. They're not going to feel like coming to worship on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. You know, they're going to struggle in their marriages and struggle with their parenting and struggle to endure. And pastors we need to be patient. You know, I'm often reminded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they say, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. And I love that catch. Be patient with them all. Whether they're idle, whether they're faint-hearted, whether they're weak, here's your summons. You need to exude patience. You need to bear long with them. Even when that bearing long with them, I think sometimes means tolerance. You know, isn't that the word that Paul uses in Romans 2, that the Lord forbears and is patient. He is tolerant and He is patient, that we might come to repentance. A pastor needs to do that. A pastor needs to be patient in preaching and teaching and shepherding. I think in bringing change into a church. You know, change does not come easy. And a pastor needs to know how to patiently, very long-term, deal with those things. Sometimes I tell people that I have a 15 or 20 year vision for my congregation, because I know that everything that I see that I might think needs change, those aren't things that can come overnight. Those are things that take time and take prioritizing and things like that. And so I just think patience has to really permeate every aspect of the pastoral ministry.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely one of the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit that we are to be exhibiting. And pastors, really, I agree with what you're saying. I think about, we were just interviewing in one of our last episodes, one of the young preachers said that he needed, one of the lessons he was learning about preaching was just to be patient in his own growth. And I appreciate that comment, but it really is true just for preaching in general, that you have to be patient with people as you're bringing God's word. A lot of times you preach and you're done and you don't know what's happening. You have no idea what's going on in people's hearts and minds. I mean, they might come up and say a little bit to you, but a lot of times it's just you preach and there you go, and you have to do it again the following week or the next time you're together, and you have to wait and see what the Lord is doing. Sometimes that's why I like to just go do something like mow the lawn or do some painting or something, so I can actually see what's happening. Because a lot of pastoral ministry, it's really just another way of saying that we have to approach pastoral ministry by faith. And faith often involves a waiting on the Lord to do the work that we long to see in the lives and hearts of people. So
And with that, right, a waiting and sometimes a waiting.
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah. I've always been struck, you know, James isn't referring specifically to pastors, but in James 5, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Right? So here's this grace that we are to exhibit. Until the day Jesus returns, be patient. And, you know, and then he uses, and this connects with me being a rural pastor, you know, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. And sometimes that's the reality. We wait and we wait and we wait and we wait. We walk by faith and we exude the patience that God.
Mm-hmm. Recently, I was listening to Scott Clark's podcast, and he was talking about mega churches. And in the process, he was quoting, or I guess he played a clip from Mark Driscoll at a conference, talking about how, if he was using a bus analogy, and if people aren't wanting to be on the bus that you're driving forward with your vision, then you got to kick them off the bus, or if they're in the way, you run them over, or you just talked about throwing people off the bus, so to speak, and just the roughness by which he spoke. I guess I was cringing a little bit. I mean, on the one hand, yeah, it appeals to wanting to be masculine and seem to be, you know, Mr. Strong Leader, but it really doesn't have anything to do with true eldership, true caring for God's people. Because just as we watch our children take so long at times to learn good habits, to grow up, to take on new responsibilities, and sometimes we forget that, you know, there are people in adult bodies, but they may still be quite immature in their faith. They may have had difficulties in their background that they're seeking to overcome. They may have suffered a long time under a difficult situation. And we've got to be really patient if we want to see them brought out of that and to grow up and to assume responsibilities in the church. And I think if we can come alongside them in that ministry that the Holy Spirit gives us and encourage them, I love that quote from Thessalonians that you gave us, to come alongside and find ways to encourage them, lift their hands, spur them on, but all the while being patient with them as we do. I think a pastor who learns to practice patience, one of the things that he finds is, rather than having to use a heavy hand to get people to do what he wants, that as people see his heart commitment to them and that he's really expressing love, because that's one of the qualities of love. Love is patient. That as he's patient with them and kind to them and waits on them, he'll find that in the long run, those will be the people that are willing to do almost anything for the sake of the Lord and the church, and in cooperation with himself as they seek to continue on in the ministry that God's given them.
Amen. I remember Joel Beakey telling us in seminary, and, you know, and patience is love, right? Love is patient. And Dr. Beakey said to us as young men, aspiring pastors, he said, show a congregation that you love them, and there's almost nothing they won't do for you, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't mean that in a self-serving way.
Right.
He said, you know, as a pastor, exude Christian love, patience, which is part of that. And you do realize that in many ways that just frees you to be able to shepherd and to lead and to guide and to protect. And I think that's a wonderful thing when pastors and congregations have that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really a good note to end on as we come to the end of this episode of 3GT. We thank you for pushing that little triangle and joining us once again. We're going to patiently wait for Scott to return to us. Hopefully, he'll join back with us soon. And we encourage you, if you'd like to learn more about this podcast, to go over to our website at 3GT.xyz. Where you can learn more. You can see ways that you can help us if you'd like to give and help us stay on the air. That is available there for you, or to listen to other episodes. Thank you for listening to this episode, though, of 3GT.